Okay, so this morning, let's pray before we start. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you and bless your name for this opportunity and the thing that you have been doing among us today, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Lord, we pray now that your presence increase in this place. Father, we pray that you move in this place. Father, we pray that you come and set captives free. And we pray that may our hearts be receptive for what you have for us this morning. Lord, I pray that no one leave this place this morning without stepping into that grace, that which you have set apart for them for now, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray, I surrender totally to you, and I pray that you grant me the divine utterance, prophetic utterance, in Jesus' name. Lord, speak, move, heal, deliver, restore, set captive free, save this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So time has gone. I've got about 15 minutes. So I'm going to try to be in to finish in 15 minutes. But I've got a good news. Good news for somebody this morning. And I was sharing with Robin just now as after we pray for Tammy, if you don't mind, not to put you on the spot here, but you know, yesterday and this morning I was spending time in prayer and in preparation for my message this morning, and this couple, I mean, these two guys, especially this young lady, kept coming into my mind, into my heart. And I knew that God has something for her this morning. So, yes, receive your healing. But more than healing, God's want to transform your life. God's want to transform your life. Okay, the only thing he wants from you is to be patient with him, to trust him, and to work with him. It's not complicated. It's easy, and it's so sweet. If you can do that, you will see what God is going to do with you. Amen? Amen. So, likewise, I think that God has something in store for every single one of us this morning. I love to be kind of to minister in terms of a personal touch, because I know that our God is the God that loves us, you know, in a personal way. He wants to have a personal relationship with us. Amen. So I have a good news for you, and the title of my message this morning is The Good News of the Gospel. The Good News of the Gospel. The Good News of the Gospel. Do you know that the gospel is a good news? Do you know that in the gospel there is a good news? Few says yes. Wow. The gospel is the good news. And we've been singing about God's love this morning. We've been talking about God's love already. We've been preaching. I can ask Scott to come here and preach. You know, we've been preaching with everything, all the thing that has been doing in this platform, on this platform today, was or is about God's love. And this is good news for us. Hallelujah. But there is this statement in the Bible, very famous statement from Jesus himself. in the Bible. We know about it, you know, because we heard it many times. And, you know, sometimes we don't even reflect of the total of the full meaning of that statement. Jesus said in John 3:16, he says, "For God so loved the world. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That is the gospel. And that is the good news of the gospel. But we heard about this statement from Jesus. And sometimes we don't even reflect totally on it. So let's consider this statement from Jesus, or this verse from the Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life," eternal life. Now, so when we look at that verse, two things kind of stand out for us, or to us, from this verse. So the first thing is that God loved. He loved. The first thing is God's love. God's love for you and I. God loves for the world. The Bible says that he loved the world. So the first thing that stood out is God's love for you and for me. The second thing is his salvation, his eternal salvation. The second thing is that he gave his one and only son for a purpose, so that whoever believes may not perish, shall not perish, but have eternal life. So the first thing is God's love. Now, you know, love now has become so popular. The term love has become so popular, so, you know, misunderstood, that we kind of miss the real understanding of it. We were in Romania, and during one of the sessions with the teenagers, a group of people about over 30 or 25 or something, and maybe from 12 to 16 or so. And Simon was ministering during this session, and you know, he asked about love. What is love? He read the passage about 1 Corinthians 13 and asked them, you know, what do you get from this passage? You know, and the first thing they say is love. And just at the mention of love, it's like, you know, all this, love. Simon was so, love. You know, the meaning of love as we know it is different from the heavenly vocabulary. You know, the connotation of love in the heavenly language is totally different. You see, when, you know, the world describe love, we think about, people think about, you know, feelings. People think about sensuality. People think about emotions. People think about, you know, comfort. You know, those are the things that we think about when we think about love. When the world describe love. In heavenly vocabulary, love have a different connotation. The definitions of God's love in biblical term is different from feeling sensations. Feeling and sensations. God's love is different from what we think love is. Totally different. You see, the reason why, you see, we see many life ruins. The reason why we see, you know, many relationships collapse is that there is no a real understanding of love. And that's the as a result, there is not a foundation. You know, so if the Bible says that the people perish because lacking or of knowledge, because they don't understand. So because the world don't understand the meaning and the real meaning of love, they build their relationship upon a sand, and you know, everything collapse. You know, the interpretation of people of the world about love is, you know, all the world interprets love through feelings, emotions, and all these things. It is dangerous. It is dangerous because this type of interpretation or this type of love leads to ruins. It can have a devastating effect. Its expression is superficial, and it is manifested by desires, envy, and lust. Oh, yes. When we don't understand the real meaning of love, the foundation of our lives is in danger. You see? His expression is superficial, and its manifestation is desire, envy, and lust. There is no sincerity in this type of love. There is no sincerity. Therefore, there is no a guarantee to it or of it. No, there is no. No sincerity, no guarantee. When we love, or when the world love through that channel, when the world love through that channel and build their foundation through that channel, the end is what we know. Hallelujah. I know of a woman. I know of a woman. And, you know, she spent many years in a relationship or with this man. They build their lives together, and I'm not sure if they were married, but they built their life together, and they have, you know, children. They were living perfectly. The man is wealthy, and one day, the guy just left. He just left the house and disappeared. Nobody knew or nobody knows where, you know. It took many, many years before they found him. He just left his family. I know another relationship where, you know, the man came home one day, and you know, and the lady saw ring on his finger and asked, you know, jokingly asked, "You see, where do you come from? And, you know, what's that ring? Have you married somebody?" You know? And he said, yes. He answered yes. And that's how he announced that he married somebody outside. You see, love, the understanding of love through the perspective of the world or through the perspective of our human flesh is so dangerous. It is so dangerous. Love, as we know it in human term, has no guarantee, no assurance. Amen. But now, let's talk about the important thing: God's love. God love. He said, "For God so loved the world." You know, so when we consider God's love, we can ask ourselves few questions. We can ask few questions. You see, because I just said to you, and you witness, you agree with me that, you see, we cannot continue to love or to kind of be moved by the understanding of the world perspective of love. So we need to understand love God's way. Hallelujah. So now, few questions we could ask ourselves. So what is God love? What is it? What is it? What is God love? How can we describe God love? Or how can I describe it? How does the Bible describe God's love? What is the alternative to his love? What is the alternative to his love? Do we really have a choice? Do I really have a choice? You know, we need to ask those questions when we consider God's love. You see, Jesus, you know, he came and kind of demonstrates or kind of incarnates God's love for us. So when we look at it, when we consider God's love, the first thing, or one of the things that we kind of start noticing is that his love is unconditional. God's love is unconditional. That is a love that is selfless, the love that is infinite, the love that is unfailing. Hallelujah. He's faithful, kind, and loyal. A love that is merciful. How do we describe God's love? God's love is intentional. God's love is intentional. So he chose to love you. He chose to love you. He chose to love the world. He chose to love. So intentional, I mean, it is deliberate. Love by choice. Love by choice. God's love is unchanging or unchanged. You know, God just don't walk away, you know, when things are not going well. No. His love is unconditional, constant. Hallelujah. God's love is transforming. God's love is transforming, having the power to transform and change people from the inside out. God's love is transforming. Hallelujah. It has the power, the ability to transform, to change from the inside out with the evidence of the fruits of the Spirit. One thing, and one of the conversation I had during this trip is that, look, it is important that, you know, when we call ourselves Christian, you see, when you know that his love came to you, when we, you can testify of, of your salvation. It is so important that, there is that evidence of the fruits of the Spirit. You see, it is so important. So if you are not seeing the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit, then, you need to start asking yourself some questions. And Galatians 5:22 starts by love. For this, the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. God's love come with the evidence of the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. And the first one is love. You see, John says this is 1 John 4. He says, love has come or has been perfected among us in this way, in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment because as he is, so we are in this world. You see, we cannot say that we are Christian. We cannot say that we are disciple without the manifestation of his love or without his love in our hearts, without the evidence of his love. Hallelujah. God's love is pure. His love is compassionate, generous, and nurturing. Wow. If you are, any mother in this place would agree with me. His love is nurturing. His love is patient. His love kind of sees the end before the beginning. And before he can see goodness, he nurtures you. He's patient with you. He carries you. He covers you. He walks with you until the appointed time when you can fly. His love is so amazing. So 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7 describe love as follows. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. With the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. Always perseveres. God's love is unfailing. God's love has the power, or is so powerful, that it can reach out to anyone in any condition or circumstances there may be. Hallelujah. God's love is so powerful, whether in sin, whether in any kind of additions, whether in sickness, whether in rebellion to him, to God, whether in, whether you are rich, whether you are poor, no matter the color of your skin, hallelujah, God's love can reach out to you. It can deliver you. It can break chain that is holding you captive. So that's the first thing we see quickly. The second thing we see from, we learn from this passage is that God's love is that salvation. Salvation. So we learn about God's love and we learn about salvation. Now, also, you know, in the biblical term, salvation has different connotation. And the first one is what the Bible, Jesus is saying here. You know, salvation means, you know, to be saved from God's wrath and judgment. Now, we don't hear this anymore. Or we don't often hear this anymore because of the pressure of this world to be conformed, you know, and because of the agenda of this world to suppress the truth. But the Bible is true and the Word of God is true, and we have to preach it. We have to say it. We don't say it with, you know, rejoicing. We say it with a heart full of, you know, love and remorse and mercy and a compelling heart. There is a judgment coming on this world. And the Bible says, Jesus says, only those who are found in him would be saved. Let me read from Romans 5:8-9. The Bible said, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this way. While we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. Now, since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? So the only way somebody can be spared of that dreadful day is through the blood of Jesus. It's through the sacrifice of the cross. Hallelujah. God loves the world. God loves sinners, but he hates sins. He hates sin. Hallelujah. So you may be here today and then, you know, Scott has mentioned this one earlier, and a very compelling calling. About his love, and also about the fact that, you know, the only thing that can set you for the best life that you can ever live is through you surrender to him. Surrender your heart to him. Accept Jesus in your heart. Confess Jesus with your mouth. Have faith in him. That's the only way for salvation for you and for us. Amen. Now the second thing, quickly, and then I finish here, is that, you know, salvation also means that, you know, God is interested about your life now. He's interested about our lives now, you know. What about now? What about now? What about now? Jesus said the thief comes only to steal, to kill, to destroy. But I have come so that they may have life and have it to the full, have it abundantly, have the abundant life. Hallelujah. He said, I am the good shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. So when we trust our lives to Jesus, when we give our life to Jesus, when we choose to walk with him, when we kind of recognize his, you know, authority and lordship over our life, he has the capacity, the ability, and the faithfulness to lead us through valleys. Psalm 25, you know it. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. So when we trust, we entrust our lives to him. You know, in any circumstances of our lives, any challenges, any battle we face, we can have the assurance and the guarantee of a victory. Hallelujah. And a blessing and a prosperity. Hallelujah. Because he loves. Now, time has gone. I'm going to stop here. But before I stop, I want to ask you a question. Now ask us a question. What do you think? You know, his love, his salvation, the judgment there, the wrath, you know, how do you want to respond to that? Do you want to trust him today with your life? Do you want to trust him today with your life? You know, the only way you can have, you know, a successful life in here is to completely, totally surrender to his lordship. Hallelujah. Whether it is a sickness, whether it is addiction, anything, depression, you know, poverty, anything, we can trust Jesus. We can trust Jesus. He say, I am the shepherd, and I am the good shepherd. I'm going to stop here. There is an altar call. If you want to surrender your life to Jesus now, if you want to say, yes, Jesus, I want to give you my life. I think we've got 1 minute for that. I want to see your hand. Just raise your hand where you are. I just want to pray with you quickly. If you are home, you can get in touch with us. Anybody want to surrender to Jesus here? Now, hallelujah, we are all saved. Amen. Father, I just want to thank you and bless your name for your love for us, for your love for the world. I want to thank you and bless your name for your word, your love for this community, these wonderful people here. And Father, I pray for those who knows you, those who doesn't know you. Father, those who are walking with you. May we receive your love today in a different way, in a way that will transform our lives and move us forward. Father, may your love come with that power to set the captive free. So, Father, I pray, may you break every chain right now. May you set captive free right now. May you draw people to you right now. May your love be filled, be poured out in our heart right now by your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless.